Good morning. How's everyone doing? I'd like to thank, first of all, the elders for letting me speak today. So these past few weeks, as you know, we've been talking about our Family Factor series. And today I'm going to be talking about growing up in a Christian household, but specifically looking at the elements of a Christian home. You can, next slide, yep. You can see my periodic table I put up there. So now I want you to think of Samuel and Eli's sons. So Samuel grew up in a Christian home. You know, Hannah had him. She cried out to God for him. She dedicated him to the Lord, and he grew up in the temple under Eli and became a mighty man of God. But then let's look at Eli's sons. They were wicked and had no regard for the Lord, but both of them grew up under Eli. So did Eli correct Samuel unlike his sons, or did Eli bring up Samuel differently than his sons? I mean, even Samuel's own sons didn't really follow God. So what went wrong, you know? Where was Hannah after she dedicated him? Why wasn't her voice heard? Did she even have a voice? According to Proverbs 1 verse 8, it says, "My son, listen to your father's instruction and your mother's teaching." So this is how my dad interprets the verse. He says, "Fathers instruct and mothers teach. So fathers tell you what to do and mothers tell you how to do it." I call that the New Carmichael translation. So, yeah. But seriously, you know, where was Eli's wife? Why didn't she step up, you know? Or maybe it was just Samuel's personality. Maybe he was better than, you know, Eli's sons. My mom, when she used to discipline us, she used to say, "I have to give an account to God. Do you want to end up like Eli's sons, you know? I can't be an Eli." So she even says that to this day, but. But the purpose of this message isn't to tell you how to be parents, you know. I obviously have no experience in that area. I'm only 16. It's to give you a perspective from a Christian child that's grown up in a Christian home and what it's all about. Yeah. So my household isn't perfect. Obviously, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. But we are imperfect people who know a perfect God. I remember when I was able to speak, accepting Jesus into my heart. I remember waking up often to Christian songs playing, worship songs, my parents worshiping and praying. You know, I listened to "Jesus is My Superhero" and Hillsong Kids when I was a kid. But my point is, our whole atmosphere was centered around Jesus. Jesus wasn't just a part of our lives. He was the center of it all, and he was the center of our lives. So Joshua 24, verse 15 says, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord," as you can see. But in our house, it's our motto, but, you know, we don't say it or we don't have a plaque. My parents live it, and I can tell from the way they, you know, serve in the church or, you know, bring us up with these elements coming up. So without further ado, let's dive into the elements of a Christian household. Next slide, please. So number one, church. I've always been going to church since I was an infant. Ever since I remember, you know, except if we were sick or out of town. Church allows us to connect with other believers. It allows us, you know, to uphold, uplift, encourage each other. I don't really see Christians, you know, Monday to Friday because I go to a public school, and I'm sure in your workplace, the name of Jesus isn't mentioned at all. You know, this is a chance for us to come and connect and lift the name of Jesus up, as well as hear the word and worship and grow closer to God. People call it legalism, coming to church every Sunday, but I call it, and my family calls it, prioritizing. We make that a priority, you know, every Sunday, because the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So how do we do that if we don't go to church? Prayer. That's the next slide. So there are three ways to pray, and what I mean by that is, number one, individual prayer. And individual prayer is important, you know. It's important for our walk with God. And it's just talking with God. Also, there is the importance of praying as a family. We don't pray every single second, but we pray consistently, especially when making important decisions. For example, about my high school, which one to go to. You know, I pray on my own, I pray with my family. And then corporate prayers are important. We do that twice as a church. Number one, 8 a.m. Wednesday on Zoom. And number two, 5:30 last Sunday of the month. When we come together and pray, we pray for things like, we pray for our church, other churches, the nation of Canada. We pray for other nations. We pray for revival. We pray for healing. We pray for our pandemic. We pray for the three levels of government. And we pray for God's heart and his will. It's important to pray for your own family issues, but when we come together and pray for issues happening around us, that's how we as Christians change the world. Even my mother, when she was growing up, she went to corporate prayer with her father, you know. So this is something that's important to my family. And there are unseen things, you know, that are deposited. There's an anointing. There's an impartation. Even just coming in this atmosphere, you know, just motivates you to get up and pray. My parents often quoted the verse Matthew 18, verse 20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. That was their reason as to why it was so important. Also, Deuteronomy 32, verse 30 says, one man will chase 1,000, and two will put 10,000 to flight. So wherever two or more persons come together to pray in the name of Jesus, God is there in their midst. So if one can chase thousands, can you imagine the power we have as a corporate body when we come together? That's exponential. And even in the Bible, we hear when the disciples came together in the upper room, you know, the Holy Spirit came on them and power was deposited. So we know from an example from the Bible. And then there's, next slide, worship, word, and spirit. So worship gives us peace and actually connects us with God. And when we connect and have a relationship with God, he leads us by his spirit. You know, when we worship, we sing about his goodness and his mercy and his love, and it ushers in his presence. Worship wasn't just a part of church for our family, and it's also a part of our household. You know, you don't have to just worship at church. You can worship the other 6 days of the week, whether it's by playing songs. But anything you do to glorify God is worship. In terms of the word, I remember as a kid, my dad would read me the Bible before I went to bed every night, memorize verses for Sunday school. And during the day, you know, sometimes we'll just even talk about the goodness of God and testimonies about how he came through and how important his word is. Like Jesus, the name of Jesus is so powerful. Testimony my mom had when she was, you know, going to school on a bike back home. These vicious dogs would come chasing her. She would just say Jesus' name and they would go like that. So, you know, that's a, you know, testimonies to how important God's word is. In Deuteronomy 11, verse 18 to 20, it says, teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. So it doesn't just have to be a church. You know, you can teach your children the word of God all through the week. And especially these days with the most wackiest theology you hear out there, it is so important to know God's word. What do I mean by that? People who claim to be Christians or pastors, they just twist God's word out of context to meet their agendas. And so that's why Proverbs 22, verse 6 is so important. You know, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he won't depart from it. You know, you know, church, prayer, word, worship, it's been instilled in me from a young age. And so those are some of the elements of why it's important to my family, and those are the important elements. Next slide. Yeah, so what? Who cares? You know, why is this important? Well, to start off, you know, my parents, they are far from perfect, man. I'm telling you. I'm just kidding. Not really, but every human is far from perfect. Every human is. But they have modeled the different elements of a Christian home and what it is like to be a Christian. You know, they're real and authentic. You know, what we do here on Sunday, word, worship, prayer, it's done at home, and it should be. You know, there's a lot of sacrifice from both of them, for, you know, because they're available for us and pour into us concerning the things of God. The other thing is their dependability on God. What do I mean by dependability? Well, you know, when we're talking about, yeah, when crises happen, like pandemics, or when, you know, a family member is really sick, first thing you do is run to God, sure. But just including God in the little things of your life. My mom used to bake these cakes for us when we were kids, and she used to include God in that. You know, or maybe you include God, you know, my dad, he does that before a meeting, you pray. You know, I've learned to do that in my life, just the little things, you know. I've seen their, through their prayers, you know, a healer, a provider, a deliverer. They're available to instruct, teach, rebuke, correct, and train us in the ways of the Lord, which parents should do. And so anyway, why are the elements so important to me? Why are these elements of the Christian home so important? Okay, so let's go back, church. In my life, church is a priority. You know, we did what we could during the lockdown, and yes, it's a pandemic. I know it's hard to come and all that, but I was excited when we could come back because, you know, there's just something spectacular about us being here and worshiping the name of Jesus. You know, you can feel his presence, and, you know, I'm beginning to understand the importance. And then there's prayer. The Bible talks about praying without ceasing. It's become a part of my everyday life. Whether, you know, it's when the internet goes off in the middle of a test and the teacher isn't understanding and you start panicking, but you pray and it comes back on. Or maybe it's getting through the year, getting through the school year. It's February and it feels like June and you just need God to get through the next 3 months. Or maybe it's just studying for a test or exam that's hard. Or just prepping for this preach. I included God in it. Learning to include God every day in your life. And then we know how important talking to God is. Listen, talking to God is the same thing as getting to know other people. If you want to get to know someone, you don't wave at them every 3 months and, okay, yeah. No, what you do is you have a conversation. If, you know, lockdown restrictions are lifted, you invite them over for a meal. You have a conversation. You spend time and talk with them. And it's the same thing with God. You know, the more you spend time with God, the less the world's influence is on you. Now, we're not always, you know, praying 24/7. No, we watch movies, we ride our bikes, we go on vacation. But Jesus is the center of our life. And then there's a phrase thrown around that Christianity is relationship over religion. And I believe that. And when we're talking about religion, you know, there are traditions and rules, but relationships are actual. Yes, the Bible has boundaries, but it's for our benefit and a great future. And with this relationship, you know, I think of Jesus as a friend, a father, a confidant, and a savior. And we know prayer, praying works. I mean, I've seen this in the Bible, to hearing it from my parents, to experiencing it and believing it for myself. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Notice how it says every situation. It doesn't have to be, you know, calamities or crazy things that happen. It can be just the littlest thing. Even when my friends are in need of prayer, I remember just saying I would pray for you because it's just become a normal part of my life. And then there's worship. You know, we were created in God's image to worship him. When we look at everything he has created, and yet he sent his son, you know, how could we not want to worship him? Take it from a guy who took grade 9 science. Our universe is massive. We are these little specks on it. And Jesus came and died on the cross for us. So how could we not want to worship him? When it comes to God's word, you know, I relied on his word during COVID-19. When it was new, we didn't really know what was happening. You know, I read Psalm 91, and it talks about protecting you from pestilence and plagues. I'm a walking example of God's promises through scripture to my parents. My mom had an ectopic pregnancy before she got pregnant with me, and she read by this time next year, and she felt that she would have a kid by this time next year. Even after she got pregnant with me, the doctors told her I wouldn't make it, but here I am standing today. So I know how important God's word is. When I was little, I used to get sick a lot, and I got it bad one time. And I remember hearing my parents say this scripture, the Egyptians you see today, you will no longer see tomorrow. And that's in Exodus 14:13. We love Egyptians. That's not what we're trying to say. But it's a metaphor. It's a real scripture with a metaphorical meaning. So, and, you know, I just believed that, and I didn't have to go to the hospital. You know, it went away the next day. And that's sometimes God speaks through words, scriptures, songs. You know, that's why it's so important to be rooted in his word, because he can speak to you through it. Another thing with my friends this year, school was virtual in the, you know, prime of COVID, and, you know, even tests and quizzes were virtual, and it's just unbelievably easy to cheat. So my friends and I were studying in virtual study group, and they said, oh, Micah, you know your stuff. Let's hop on a call tomorrow and, you know, during the test, and we can share answers, you know, ace this thing. And I was like, no, I can't do that, because I was reminded of Micah 6:8, and it says, what does the Lord require of you? This is what I was named after. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So is it just? Is it right? No. So I had conversations about the gospel with my friends, and, you know, I was able to tell them about Jesus. Now people ask, you know, were their marks better? Of course their marks were better. Righteousness comes with a price. You know, it's not cheap. It costs you something. Last slide. So this is a quote by Walt Disney, and it says, growing old is mandatory, but growing up is optional. So the choice of growing up in a godly household, yeah, sure, parents have to, you know, you follow Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. You know, if they place their child in a godly environment. But children, the choice is ours as well. Our parents can shove scripture down our throat. They can be great role models. But us children still have to make our own choices. So choose wisely. You know, we can either be like Samuel or Eli's sons. The choice is ours. Thank you.
Great word, Micah. So fun to be able to share this Sunday with you. Good morning, everybody. First of all, thank you again to the pastors for this opportunity to share what God's placed on my heart today. And I'm very excited, like I said, to be able to team up with Micah today as we dive deep into part 8 of our series, The Family Factor, and talk about Kingdom Kids. My heart today is that through what Micah and I share, we'll be encouraged, we'll be equipped with some practical tools, but also that we'll be challenged to continue to grow and mature into who God has called us to be. I want to begin by sharing a little bit of my story. In September of 1991, baby Jess was born. I was born into a Christian family. Both of my parents had a relationship with the Lord, and believe it or not, I grew up in this church. Although it's changed names and locations over the years, this is the church family that I've been a part of for my whole life. I'm not going to cry. From a very young age, I saw both my parents involved in church. My mom was involved in kids ministry. My dad sang on the worship team. They were both involved in the church dramas we used to put on, and there is photographic evidence to prove this. And they are also involved in church leadership. So church and serving in church was always a very natural part of our lives. It wasn't an add-on or an optional extra. It was an integral piece of our family life. My parents never told me I had to serve in church. I was never pressured or coerced. Instead, they invited me to join them in being part of serving in the kingdom. And because I saw them living it out, I could imagine myself doing it too. Parents, you set the example for your kids. Your children are looking to you. And it's difficult to ask them to catch a vision for partnership and serving in church if you haven't modeled it yourself. Proverbs 22, verse 6 from the Amplified Version. Train up a child in the way he should go, teaching him to seek God's wisdom and will for his abilities and talents, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Around 5 years of age, my parents enrolled me in piano lessons, and probably like most other kids, though I loathed to practice, they could see a gift of music on my life, and they fanned it into flame. I joined the music team here at our church when I was 12 years old, and I started leading worship at 14. Worship has always played such a huge role in my life, and my parents always encouraged and affirmed me in that gift. A few years later, at the age of 17, I would be brought onto our church leadership team. So kids, no matter your age, there's a place for you here, and you bring something to our church family that no one else can bring. You don't have to wait till you're older to start serving or living for his kingdom. Now, the summer before I turned 14, I got a prophetic word that radically changed me. The word was that I had 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the church, in the kingdom, and I needed to decide where I wanted to stand. That night at the service, I experienced being baptized by the Holy Spirit for the first time, and it was what we would say is a big rock moment in my life because I decided for myself, like Micah talked about, kids, that I wanted to be all in for the things of the kingdom. Parents, you have the incredible privilege of partnering with the Lord to help set a spiritual foundation for your kids. You help to prepare the soil of their hearts to be good planting ground for his word and spirit. And kids, you have a choice to make. You get to choose for yourself, like I did, to be all in. Now, the good news is, parents, even if you weren't raised in a Christian home or you weren't a Christian when your kids were born, it's never too late. You can choose to partner with Jesus and raise your kids with kingdom values. Or maybe you're a young person here today and you haven't grown up in a Christian home. You can be an example of who Jesus is to your parents, and you can choose to partner with him on how you'll raise your family in the future. Today, I want to share 3 key values that were present in my home growing up for both parents and kids to choose to live for his kingdom every day. 1, the importance of a personal relationship with the Lord. Parents, let your kids cultivate a personal relationship with Jesus. And kids, get to know God for yourself. Don't ride on the coattails of your parents' faith. So how do we help our kids cultivate a relationship with the Lord? We teach them to hear God's voice. We read the Bible with them and teach them the power of his word. Psalm 119, 9 to 11 from the NIV says, "How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." If we haven't planted God's word into the hearts of our kids, how can we expect them to draw on it in a moment of need? You also worship with them in every circumstance. Let them see you praising and thanking the Lord. Even to this day, my parents help remind me the power of praise and thanksgiving, and they've modeled for me the importance of daily spending time with the Lord. Often when I would come to talk to them about something I was struggling with or an important decision or asking what they would do if they were in my shoes, they would ask me, "What has God said? Have you prayed about it?" And sometimes it was a little irritating. But what they were trying to say in that moment was, it was never that they didn't have a perspective or good advice to share. It was they were trying to instill in me the value from a young age to go to God first and seek his perspective. So kids, how do you cultivate a relationship with the Lord? Well, like Micah said, you spend time with him. When you want to get to know somebody, you spend time with them and you listen for his voice. You read your Bible and you fill yourself up with his truth. And you spend time worshiping and thanking God for the little and the big things in your life. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 from the NIV says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So what can this look like? This by no means is a prescriptive or exhaustive list at all. These are just a few ideas that can help you get started. But it's important for you to ask Holy Spirit for the right ideas for your family. You can have a family devotional time. You can ask your kids to come to the dinner table with a word or a scripture that God's placed on their heart for that day. You can involve your kids, like Micah said, in prayer regarding family decisions where it's age and circumstance appropriate. And kids, you can ask for a journal where you can practice hearing and talking to Jesus and writing down testimonies or things that you're praying for. One of my favorite things to do is to write my prayer requests down in my journal, and I title them Testimonies in the Making. And so I go back when a prayer has been answered with a date, and I make a note so that I can look back over the years and see the goodness and faithfulness of God in my life. The most important thing to remember in all of this, like Micah also said, is to put Jesus at the center. Look to Jesus. Every child and every family is unique, so parents, seek the Lord for his ways on how best to do this in your home. Number two is be involved in family as a family. Parents, affirm and involve your kids in family life, both at home and in the church. And kids, you are a valuable part of your family. Know that you also have a valuable place here in your church family. So how do we help our kids be involved in family at home and at church? We make space for them to be involved. We have young people as young as 10 involved currently in our music and media teams. I know there have been lots that have helped in the kids' classrooms. There have been some that have served along their aside their parents in hospitality. And I just want to say to all the parents who are bringing their kids early, thank you so much for doing that. Thank you so much for making space for them to be involved, because they are such a gift to us, and it's so exciting to see them bring their gifts. Ask the Holy Spirit, what do we see in our kids that we can help stir up in their life, like my parents with the piano lessons and teaching me a lifestyle of worship? And teach your kids how to love and serve well, and do this by leading by example. Kids, how do you get involved in family at home and in church? Well, you be helpful around the home. When mom or dad asks you to do something to help, do it with a big smile on your face, knowing that this is a way that you can express your love for Jesus and can serve and honor your family. Ask yourself, what area in the church would I like to get involved with? What do I enjoy or find exciting that I think will be a blessing to my church family? Yeah. Be bold and step out. I love this scripture from 1 Timothy 4:12, reading from the NLT. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young, but be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. So what does this look like? Involve your kids in helping around the home, whether it's setting the table, cleaning up after a meal, making sure the room is tidy, and I know parents, there's a long list of other things that they can get involved in. As we've said before, don't pay them to do this. Instead, show them how these are all ways that they get to serve and be involved in family. And what are the areas that both of you, both parents and kids, can get involved in church? You can see they're up there. We have events, we have kids' church, we have building maintenance, we have music and media, which includes live streaming, we have youth, young adults, IT, hospitality, ladies' ministry, men's ministry, prayer ministry, the usher team, greeting team, freedom session, alpha, and connect groups. As you can see, we have many areas at the Bridge where both parents and kids can bring their gifts and get involved in family as a family. And number three, have kingdom vision. Parents, every day be intentional to show your kids what kingdom living looks like. And kids, remember that Jesus is with you every moment of every day. How do you show your kids what kingdom living looks like? Teach them to look beyond themselves. Show them how to live selflessly. Help your children understand God's heart. And this points back to number one about cultivating a personal relationship with Jesus. And show them that the church exists beyond these four walls. Look for opportunities to be salt and light around you. Kids, how do you live for the kingdom? Get to know Jesus, like we talked about. Get to know him. Have a personal relationship with Jesus. Love Jesus well by being loving and kind to others. And ask Jesus to show you opportunities where you can shine his light to those around you. What does this look like? It's teaching your kids to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. Whether it's if you feel to pay for somebody in the Tim Hortons drive-through line behind you, or whether it's you're writing an encouraging card or sending a text or a phone call or dropping food at someone's house. If your kids are with you, bring them along and involve them in the process. Let them see you model obedience and kingdom living. Teach your kids to steward well their gifts, their time, their resources. Growing up, my parents taught us from a very young age the importance of tithing. We had a special piggy bank that had a spot for the church, that had a spot for the bank where we would save money, and a place for the store, which is where we could save up money for things that we wanted to buy, which at the time was like toys. So from a very young age, I grew up knowing the value of giving in obedience, that God gets the first fruits, and that we can actually give back to him more than what he asks, because we can never outgive God. Bring them on missions trips to conferences like the Equips that we have here and around the world in other countries to give them a heart for the nations and expand their perspective. Raise them up to be good leaders and good followers. Parents, you have the incredible blessing and privilege of raising kingdom kids. You don't have to do it alone. Look to Jesus for wisdom, strategies, and creative ideas on how to do this for your family. Partner with the Lord to set a spiritual foundation, preparing the soil well in your kids' hearts so that the things that you teach and impart to them about his kingdom will fall on good ground. And remember that you are the example of Jesus to your kids. You show them what he looks like. Kids, you have a choice. You get to choose whether or not you want to be all in. Spend time with Jesus, let him plant good seeds in your heart, and partner with him so that they produce good fruit in your life. You don't have to wait until you're older to be involved or to live for his kingdom. You can start right now. So together, let's get to know Jesus more. Let's be involved in family as a family, and let's choose to have kingdom vision and live for him every day. Thank you so much.